How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Program. I'm Lori Rubenson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan at 888-808-1019. That's the phone number. Go ahead and use it. Phone lines open, or hit me up on X on Twitter at LRubensonWFAN, and you can toss out opinions and questions there. Mr. Connor Green is joining me tonight. Always a pleasure. He is resplendent in a Jets quarter zip back there. Interesting choice tonight, Connor.
I'm hoping the Knicks magic maybe rubs off on the Jets here.
All right, I have a question for you. We'll toss this out. And yeah, you know what? Tonight, I'm going to toss out questions that admittedly have been bubbling up in my social media feeds and toss them out to you. And Yankee fans, here's one that, look, the Yankees lost today, lost the series to the Cincinnati Reds. And I can toss out their questions and you can be frustrated about not hitting with runners in scoring position. And you want to call in about that, go ahead. If you want to call in because you're annoyed that Aaron Boone and the Yankees went with, instead of going with the rotation, scheduled rotation in Gerrit Cole, kind of going for the jugular and on a Sunday and trying to secure a series, the rubber game, instead they call up Elmer Rodriguez and let him pitch. You want to talk about that? You can. Go ahead and light the light. And we'll talk about a number of Yankee questions. But something I keep seeing bubbling up on Twitter, on social media, as we get a little closer towards the trade deadline, and in particular because the New York Yankees are about to face the Detroit Tigers. So suddenly, you know, different storylines pop up. And with the Yankees about to face the Tigers, well, you know where I'm going. Tarik Skubal is very likely going to be traded at this trade deadline. That's all the rumors. It makes sense. He was injured, came back very quickly. And now you have a guy who's been, you know, Mr. Cy Young and one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in baseball over the last few years. And here he is available, likely because the Detroit Tigers are kind of going nowhere, and they can decide to hold, but they're not likely to sign him in the offseason. He'll be a free agent. It's a weird offseason where we're not sure if there's going to be a strike, a lockout, a work stoppage of some sort. We think so. We don't know. But if Tarik Skubal is likely going to leave the Tigers after this season, they're probably trading him. And so here are the Yankees coming into town. The Yankees who, even losing a series to the Reds, you want to get worked up about it, but the Yankees are still in first place. And the American League still stinks. And the Yankees, I know they did not hit this weekend, but even with Aaron Judge out of the lineup, they've been winning. And this is a team where, you know, they're leading the league in runs scored. They are a, you know, the starting pitching has been terrific. So it's hard to get worked up in some ways, but knowing that Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole are not getting any younger, if this is the year, the Yankees are less about playing like, hey, can we get through the American League? This is about taking a look at the senior circuit, at the National League, at teams like the Dodgers and all the good teams in the National League, and saying, do the Yankees have enough to win a World Series? And you can always get hot, you can always get lucky and whatever. The Yankees are a very good team. But what do they need to do to make this team as bulletproof as possible? We've just seen a championship in our town. Knicks showed a championship here. And by the way, the Knicks were not satisfied. There were some really go-for-it moves with the Knicks to try and win a championship. So should the Yankees, do you want the Yankees to make the ultimate go-for-it all-in move right now and make a trade before this year's deadline, trade for Tarik Skubal, and create an uber rotation that could pitch with anybody? Oh my God, Mets. LOL, Mets. Schwarber just hit a home run off David Peterson. And Mets fans, if you want to call in, I mean, I felt like counter-programming to the Met game, but they're down 5-0. It's the second inning. So at some point, if beleaguered Mets fans want to call in and complain, feel free. Phone lines are open. You could do that. But anyway, questions that are trending on Twitter, on social media. Yankee fans, do you want the kill shot? Do you want to try and trade for Tarik Skubal? If yes, what are you willing to give up? Who? And because rumors are out there that the Tigers really like the Yankees' two top prospects in George Lombard Jr. and Carlos Lagrange. So would you trade both? One, are you willing to do a move like that to try and win a title? All in, urgency, now. And not just do you trade for him then, Skubal, but you keep him away from another team. Because if you don't trade for him, the other problem, of course, is that a team like the Dodgers and their GM president, you know, their president of baseball operations, Andrew Friedman, they seem to always make that move for somebody. So do you let another team that you're worried about go out and get him? You know, look at the Phillies right now. Their starting pitching is terrific, but I wouldn't put it past Dave Dombrowski, their aggressive general manager, to look at this Phillies team and say they have a small window of aging players, and they already fired their manager. That seemed to revive this Phillies team. They got a little healthy, but Don Mattingly is the manager, and they're playing good baseball. Other teams are going to go after him. Somebody's going to trade for him. Should it be the Yankees? 888-808-1019. We're going to talk about the Knicks. We're going to keep talking about the Knicks. I want to hear your parade stories, the good, the bad, the ugly. How did you celebrate the Knicks and the parade and all of that? And at what point will you, what's the statute of limitations? At what point is it fair for Knicks fans to start criticizing the Knicks? Like, is it, you can't criticize any move through the draft? I mean, you know, NBA draft coming up on Tuesday. Can you not criticize any move in the draft, free agency, anything? Does Leon Rose get a total pass? If he has to maneuver in a way where he's not going over the second apron, then I think it's fair to criticize the owner if he's strapped by that. But does Leon Rose just get a pass for how long? I don't know. We'll talk about all of that in Knicks celebration. And Connor's asking me, did I end up going to the parade or not? So I'll get into that in just a moment. Another topic for you that I find, this is the one I was going to ask and mention to Connor before I get into. I got two other topics for you to call in on. One is, Connor, this one's for you. So I saw this trending. It seems like a very easy question for all of us here, and I don't have to be an incredible mind reader to answer this for you, but I am seeing this all over social media. And the question is this, because finally it seems like we actually have a decent U.S. men's soccer team in this World Cup. After being schmageggies for like a bajillion years, for the first time since 1930, the U.S. men's team actually won their first two games in pool play. Like, that's how bad we are at this World Cup soccer thing.
Yeah, not so great.
Right. It's been since 1930. And by the way, you want to talk about, where's that Vince guy from ESPN? You want to talk about a participation trophy? Like, I'm in the, yay, USC, we won our first two games in pool play, yay! But anyway, good for them. I'm excited. I've been watching. I'm into the U.S. men's team. I will say, not to, you know, completely diss, but we're all excited about two wins in pool play, whereas with our U.S. women, anything short of winning a World Cup or a gold medal in the Olympics and, like, you know, coaches get fired on the women's side for, like, hey, you didn't win the whole thing? You know, Emma Hayes knows she has to win everything, or, like, your job is in jeopardy on the women's side because they're so good. But on the men's side, we are in the participation trophy thing, and we're very excited. I'm excited. Excited. I've been watching. And so, Connor, the question I'm seeing from fans around the country, different fan bases on social media, is, would you trade a, which would you rather?
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
That the U.S. men win the World Cup this year, this summer, or if I gave you the choice, your favorite NFL team, your favorite football team could win the Super Bowl. What are you choosing?
Could win or will win?
Will win. You get a guarantee. You are resplendent tonight, my friend, in your green Jets quarter zip.
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this.
Yes, Lori. I haven't seen the Jets go to the playoffs in about 40 years, basically almost in my entire life. So I would take the could possibly win a Super Bowl all day. No offense to the U.S. men's national team. I'm a fan, of course, rooting for them.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm taking the Jets in that one.
So I have the same reaction, and I'm a Giants fan, and I've actually been fortunate enough. I mean, the Giants, of course, have been, you know, trash for the better part of, yeah, I don't know, most of the last, like, 20 years. Two little blips of seasons, but mostly awful. However, I've seen four Giants Super Bowl winning teams, and even me, I've seen four Super Bowls. When I saw that, I was like, really? How many U.S., like, I don't mean to be, you know, I'm excited and I root for all of our Olympic teams. I always want to do it in the Olympics. World Cup, I am absolutely tuning in. I've watched both games. Very excited. You know what? I was in Boston this past week. Super, super fun. Was in Boston, you know, on business this past week, which included going to Fenway Park. And OMG, the city of Boston was overrun by people, by men in kilts. And they ran out of beer there. And it was a friggin' love fest with the tartan army and the city of Boston. And could not be more fun than seeing, well, because Boston's also smaller than, you know, here for our area, we have people playing. Well, I guess there you're playing in Foxborough. It's not like it's right in the city, but I don't know. We're such a big city here in New York that even if you put a lot of fans, you know, we see them, but it's just not the same thing. Boston, smaller town, more concentrated. Wherever you went, there was the Tartan Army, and it was just such great energy. So this World Cup is really fun, and I've been so charmed by the various fan bases turning up all over the place, and they're singing and they're chanting and all of it. It's awesome. But when I saw that question, I thought to myself, I'm rooting for the U.S. team. I hope like crazy the U.S. team wins. But when I saw, and I saw some people, there they were on social media being like, oh, yeah, yeah, the U.S. men's team. Yeah, absolutely the U.S. men's team. And then there were some honest people where I was seeing responses like, the Cowboys all day, every day. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like,
we're still a football country, Lori. We're not a football country quite yet.
Exactly. And I'm even willing to admit that our name for our game is stupid compared to theirs. Like, of course, football makes sense for soccer. You kick the damn ball. Our sport, you throw the ball mostly. I mean, you know, field goals and extra points are not, and punts are not exactly the highlight of the game. So I'll even say our name for football is kind of silly. But that aside, yeah, you give me a choice. I want the U.S. men's team to win. So, I don't know. I'll put that one out there for you if you disagree with Connor and I. Seems like an easy question. I've been seeing that one trending. All right. Final question, and then we're heading right to your calls. off the top here is, this one's actually about the U.S. Open today. And I saw something today that I found remarkable, interesting, strange, out of the ordinary. So U.S. Open today out at Shinnecock on Long Island in the Hamptons. Friggin' beautiful, glorious, you know, and if you've ever been out in that part of the world, you know, it's incredible. And, you know, for people who think of New York somehow, and all they think of is New York City, and, you know, for people who are not from our area, when they picture New York, they picture, like, Times Square. I'm always upset by this, because I feel like you didn't see the best of our city if you came and saw that. Like, go all around and see more. But our state, whether that's the beaches, you know, out there in the Hamptons or head upstate or, you know, all the areas anyway. So Shinnecock out on the island, beautiful, hosting the U.S. Open, and very exciting Sunday today as Wyndham Clark won his second U.S. Open, and he was getting chased down on Sunday. It was looking like a blowout earlier in the week, but on Sunday, some guys were chasing him, and Sam Burns put up a finish, a close on Sunday to make it interesting. But the part that was fascinating to watch was this. Here was a guy in Wyndham Clark who is American playing the U.S. Open, his country's, you know, I mean, a major championship, but a major championship in his home country. And he's previously won the U.S. Open. And fans, American fans, were actively rooting against him. And what's weird about this is that, and interesting about it, was that golf and tennis have a different etiquette than other sports. I mean, unless it's the Ryder Cup where people go berserk and over the top, and I get it, it's the Ryder Cup. But otherwise, generally speaking, in golf and tennis, you applaud when, you know, a player you're rooting for does something good. And you don't have to applaud if a player you're not rooting for, you're rooting against, does something good. You don't have to applaud. But it's kind of accepted in golf and tennis that when somebody makes an obvious unforced error, they themselves, you know, obviously in golf, any error is an unforced error. You know, it's you yourself making the error. So somebody makes a mistake in golf or tennis, whether that's in tennis, it's double fault. In golf, you slice one and there, you know, slice it into the rough, slice it into the fescue, whatever it is, into a trap, into the water, whatever kind of move. Bad shot. You don't almost ever hear cheers for bad shots. It's just not how it works. It's rare. And so for people to be doing that, applauding bad shots from an American at the U.S. Open was fascinating. And the history here, this guy Wyndham Clark, has a history of some anger management temper issues and bad sportsmanship, whether that's throwing a club or last year at the U.S. Open when he, you know, was upset. Did damage actually to the locker room. And so there's, you know, absolutely an issue, past issue here that golf fans could, golf etiquette, not like this guy. And on top of that, he was playing in the final pairing with Scottie Scheffler, who was immensely popular with golf fans, with everybody, you know, kind of a beloved guy, humble superstar in Scottie Scheffler, world number one, who, had he won today, had a chance for the career Grand Slam. So that's what the fans were rooting for. I get it. But fascinating. And so I'm just curious where you net out on that. Is it, if you're rooting for Scottie Scheffler, and I'll confess I was, I wanted Scheffler to win. No doubt about it. I'm home, I'm watching. And at home, when Clark would hit a bad shot, I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. But that's different in at home. Is it okay for an American crowd to be, cheering for mistakes of an American player? And for him to essentially have to take on the crowd as well in his home country. I found that interesting. Curious where you think on that. 888-808-1019. All right, we got a lot of Yankee stuff to get into. Going to go through all that. Oh, I have some guests coming up for you. NBA draft Knicks fans, Nets fans. Nets fans, I know it's been tough, but you want to call in. I'm happy to talk NBA draft and what would be a good outcome for Nets fans. Knicks fans, got some questions for you. But we're going to dive into into some Yankee stuff from the game today. But guests today, we've got Zach Braziller from The Post coming up, and we'll talk NBA draft with him. We've got Mark Canizzaro, also from The Post, on the U.S. Open from Shinnecock, and Dave Lennon from Newsday going to join me. We're going to talk Yankees and Mets. 888-808-1019. We'll be right back.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.